Okay. So we are holding about the middle of Kufdalat Amud Aleph by the two dots. So to recap, the Mishnah had told us about a case where you say that I'm selling you a base kur, the area where you can plant a kur of grain, where the defined as 75,000 square amas. Remember that an ama is between a foot and a half and 2 feet. So a square ama is anywhere between about 2.25 and 4 square feet. Anyway, we said the one case was you said that I'm selling it to you exactly as measured with a rope, and then a taka has to be exact. Then you had a case, which the rest of the Mishnah talked about, where you said, I'm selling it to you, hein chos or hein yater. I'm selling you, it might be a little more, it might be a little less. Then we said the allowable variance is up to 1/24. To put it again, we said yesterday, because as you said, up to 1/24, we assume a person is moichel, by the same logic as we said. Because that's the amount that the Chachamim estimated that the average person is willing to be moichel on. They figured that out based on their knowledge of human psychology, whatever, I don't know. What?
They didn't tell us.
No, they didn't tell us where they got it from. But the same principle as we said before, for example, with grain, that you buy grain and you can expect that up to 1/24 of it is going to be other stuff. Same thing over here. Okay. So we said, therefore, that if the variance is up to 1/24 and that's it, it's a done deal. Any more than that, and you have to figure out and you have to reconcile the difference. So we said mahu machzu l'moyzful. We said what is the buyer return to the seller in that case? If he got over a base kur, he returns him money. And the reason and the Mishnah said the reason why is it that he gives him money is liyapus kecha shel moicher. We're doing that. We want to make the seller's position stronger. So the question is, are you telling me that we're only out to make sure that the moicher benefits, that the seller benefits, that he gets back? Yeah, exactly. You're telling me that we don't say that we want to improve the situation for the lekeach. But we learn in a braisa, if you under measured it by seven and a half kabim per kur, which is that 1/24th amount, because a kur again consists of 180 kabim rather. So 1/24th of that comes to 180 comes to 7.5. So if you gave him 172.5 kabim, or you gave him too much by 7.5, you gave him 187.5, then what came to him. In other words, it's a done deal, and there's no coming back, there's no adjustment, there's no nothing. Yosemikan, but if it's more than that, any more than that, and we force the seller to sell the remaining amount, meaning if the lekeach wants to buy that extra piece of land, we force him to sell it. And in the case where the lekeach doesn't want to, then we force him to buy if the moicher wants to sell. Meaning, in other words, we're looking out for the good of both them. Now, the reason why, in other words, the idea is like this. The Rashbam said, we're talking about 7.5. We're talking about 7.5 kavim of land. That's a very small area of land. It's not really enough, as we learned back in the first parak, to make it a useful field. You know, a useful field is at least 9 kavim, usually.
How big is 7.5 or 9
kavim? So the area of a kav is an area about 400, a little over 400 square amas. A little over 20 by 20 amas.
600 feet?
So 20 by 20 in feet. If you go according to the Rav Chaim, no, it's about 30 by 30 feet, so about 900, about 900 square feet. So that's one base cab. 9 of those then. So multiply that by 9.
That's so small. 7.5.
So 7.5 is not so small, but in Gemara terminology, an area less than 9 kavim, we said all the way back in the first parak, an area less than 9 kavim in size, is at least in Eretz Yisrael, is not worth taking care of. It's not, unless, as we'll see on Oman Bay, if it's adjacent to another field of yours, that's different. But if it's a field all by itself, it's not usually worthwhile to take care of such a small field. There can be exceptions, but usually that's the case. We learned in Bavel there's a slightly different figure, but never mind, let's not get into that. So again, one base cab is 9, is a little over, is around 900 square feet, give or take. So 9 of those would be about 8,100 square feet. I don't know, putting that into a square, it would be a square, 90 by 90 feet about?
100 feet.
Yeah, let's round it, say 100 feet. So a square, 100 feet by 100 feet is the minimum to be considered a field in halacha.
That would be not 7.5.
That would be nine. That would be not. That would be roughly 9 cap.
9.5
would be less than that, obviously. Okay. So the point is, in other words, suppose that, so on the one hand, you have it's beneficial for the seller to not get back that little bit of land, because what's he going to do with it? On the other hand, there can also be it can also be beneficial for the buyer to have it, because otherwise the seller is, suppose the seller does say, I want that little piece of land back, fine, it's not full 9 cabin, but I'll take care of it. The lekeach can argue, though, you're always going to be coming next to my field, we're going to have to put up walls, I'm going to have to keep an eye when you're around, et cetera, et cetera. So therefore, you make sure, so therefore, because so it's a midasdaim, you make it therefore that either party can be forced to sell or to buy, as the case may be.
That we
don't even look for the moichah as good, we look for the lekeach as good also, right? So that the answer is hasam compared to have a yakira meikra v'zol hashta. Yes, but the case that Braitha is talking about is specifically where originally the price of the land was higher, and now the value went down. And now the Lekeach says, look, I mean, I don't want to buy it at the higher price.
It was
initially a higher price,
and now
it came down.
So why shouldn't the
lekeach
be okay with that?
No, so the lekeach is fine with that, but the moicher would like to be able to get the original price. There we don't say zenana v'zalei chaser anymore. There we don't say kofen amid asdei. That's where we're talking about, that we force the seller to sell. Meaning the Rashbam says, not per se we're forcing him to sell. We're forcing him, in other words, to sell at that price, at the cheaper price.
So really not benefiting the lekeach.
So in other words,
we don't want the lekeach to lose on that.
Right, exactly. But basically what it is we are trying to make things better for the mocher, but not at the expense of the lekeach. So if the price is lower now, then he gets to pay the cheaper price. Damrinanle, which therefore, so we tell him like this, Arayavatli, if you're going to give me land, or actually if you're going to give him land, really, Havli Kazoila Dehashta, then give him that extra land at the current cheaper price. You're not entitled to get the higher price. You're not entitled to get the higher price. You moicher, the moicher.
Why?
Because now the price is cheaper. It would be it's not then and
it's not.
So no, but in other words, so that's what we're saying. The you can't force the lekeach to buy it at the higher price when now land is not worth that price. So either you're willing to sell it to him at the lower price or take back your land. So if the moicher is willing to give it at a cheaper price, then we would force the lekeach to take it, to go and buy it at that cheaper price. But we're not going to force him to buy it at the highest price.
So that goes against what?
No. So we're saying basically we're out for the good of the moicher, but not when it's at the expense of the lekeach. So that's what we mean. Basically, the Mishnah is saying that we're out liyapas toichos shel moicher. We do want to make things better for the moicher, but not at the expense of the lekeach, where you would make him be buying land at a higher price. The Ravid, by the way, has a whole different understanding of this statement over here. He says what it means is, it's not so much a question of forcing, it's a matter of that we advise the moicher as follows. We tell him, look, now that the price went down, if you want the original land back, Now the cost of that land is worth less. You're going to be losing by taking the land. You might do better to take money where then you are going to get the original price of that land. That's how he learns it.
He's going to get the original price.
Because it was worth more originally, if you're going to take money from the lekeach, you'll be able to get the original price of it because that's how much it was worth when you gave it to him. As opposed to if you're going to take the land, then you stand to lose because now you're going to be getting land which isn't worth as much.
That's not what the Gemara says.
That's how the Ravid understands what the Gemara says.
How did he understand that?
He understands. So you're going to have a yakira meikra v'zol hashta. It was worth more before. Now it's worth less. Damrin and lay. E ara yahavatli. If you're going to give him land, we're talking the lekeach giving it back to the moicher. Havle kazoila dehashta. You're just giving him the land at its current cheap value, which therefore you the moicher stand to lose by that. You would do better to ask him for the money, and in that case you'll get the full price. That's how that I use it. Yeah. Okay. It's not that difficult to understand in the words. Okay.
What?
It's not that difficult to understand in the words. The Rashbam's understanding of Iara Yahavat Li is that we're talking about the Moichel giving the land to Lekeach, selling it, that is, to Lekeach. According to the Raivet, it's the other way around. We're talking about the Lekeach returning that land to the Moichel.
I don't see how you can infer that from the word.
Iara Yahavat Li, if you're going to give me, if you, Lekeach, are going to give me the Moichel land, or Lay, whatever really it's supposed to be, Iara Yahavat Li, if you, Lekeach, are going to give him the Moichel, the land, have Lay, because they're the Dehashta. You only are obligated to give him the land at the cheaper price now. Therefore, you, Moichel, stand to lose by that because you're getting land which isn't worth as much as it was.
Why should he be obligated to sell a lower price when the prices have gone up?
The prices went down.
Sorry, when
the price went down. So therefore, that's what we're telling the Moichel. You would do better to get from him the original purchase price of this land rather than and take it back, rather than take back the land, which isn't going to be worth as much.
If it continues going down.
If it continues going down. If it goes back up, obviously, it stands to gain. Fine. But right now, it's low. Okay.
Yeah,
Going down. Okay, so the question is, what about those, another braisa that says that when he gives it to him at the price, when the Moshe gives the land to the Lekeach, he gives it to him at the price that he bought from him originally, so we see then that you go according to the higher price. The answer is no, Hossam is going to have a Zolam Ikra, a Yakra Lahashta. There it's the other way around. That last braisa is talking about the other way around. Originally the price was lower,
and now it's going higher.
Now the price is higher. Again, we still don't want to do things at the expense of the Lekeach, given it's true now the price of this land is higher, but since when he did the original deal, the price was lower, and he wouldn't have bought the whole field anyway in the first place, he has the right to say, I wouldn't have even started the whole deal if it wasn't that real estate prices were low and I realized I could get it cheaper. So you can't force them to buy these extra 7.5 or 8 or 9 or whatever it is, Kavim, at the higher price.
Let me ask you a question. When you do a real estate deal, the first thing you do is set a price.
They set a price.
You don't wait until prices go up. You said
no, but here we're talking about, you said I'm selling you a base score approximately, and it turns out it's not an actual base score. It's a little bit more, it's a little bit less. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, that's the uncertainty wasn't in the price. The uncertainty was in the actual amount of land that's being sold.
So you were fortunate.
Right. That's what we're saying. If it's less than 7.5 difference, then you're moral on it,
right,
and then no adjustments are made. If it's more than that, then that's when adjustments have to be.
Why do we talk about the price?
But that's what we talk about. Because meanwhile, in between when you made the deal, and when you measured the land and discovered that it's too large or too small, prices went up.
But we
have to figure out, when you're returning that eighth cabin, for example, are you returning it at the original price or at the new price? Good. No, not necessarily. So we're saying that whether the price went up or whether it went down, we adjust it in favor of the Lekeach. However, the Moichel gains by the fact that we say the Yapis Kochel Shel Moichel, it makes it better for him that he does get back. He does get something back. But what the something is, it's not going to be at the expense of the Lekeach. Okay.
So we take into account when
we return the extra amount.
So the present price, right.
What the Mishnah said, that he returns him the money, and if they mutually agree, he can return him the karka. That's talking about if the prices have stayed the same. But if the prices have gone up or down, then there's a difference in that.
And then we readjust.
According to the lesser of the original or the present prices.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's that. Okay.
That makes it much clearer.
The Mishnah had said Shem Shia Basada based test cabin before. Then we said in the Mishnah that suppose he had given him too much by 9 cabin. So we, in other words, again, the field is supposed to be 180 cabin, and he gave him 189 or more. Then he would have to return him the extra amount, because again, 9 cabin is enough to make a significant field of its own. Now, Amar Rav Huna, test cabin sha'amru v'akilu b'dikav doyla. So Rav Huna says this, that we're saying 9 cabin, it's not really a proportional thing. It's a fixed amount. Even if you're talking about he sold him a huge valley, an area the size of many quarters. So if you were to go strictly by the 1/24th rule that we said before, 9 kavim from, let's say, 10 kur is much less than 1/24th.
Right.
Nevertheless, though, because the overage has come to 9 kavim, and 9 kavim is considered a significant field by itself, then Rav Huna holds that you're not moichel on that. In other words, Rav Huna would say, when are you moichel is if it's less than 1/24th, and if it's 1/24th or less, and that 1/24th or less is less than 9 kavim. Once you reach 9 cavum, he says it doesn't matter what proportion of the actual 1/130th, 1/100th, whatever, it doesn't matter.
It is significant enough.
It is significant enough because 9 cavum is enough to make a field of its own.
Yeah.
So therefore, he would have to return it to him.
What price?
That's depending on the previous discussion. Fine. But
so,
not,
so what did we conclude from the previous discussion?
With the previous discussion, we said is that if the price, again, according to the Rashbam's understanding, if the price, regardless whether the price has gone up or down, either way, the lakeach is entitled. If the moicher wants back that land, then. So we said actually it depends. We have to first figure out. Well, first of all, we have to figure out whether there's 9 cabs involved. But leaving aside the question of 9 cabs, if the mocha wants it and the lekeach is then we will. You want to have that the lekeach can argue that because this is less than 9 cavum, you can't really do anything useful with that, and it's just going to harm me because you're going to always be coming near my field. So therefore, in that case, we tell the mocher then just take money.
But what price?
What we said before, the original price, or according to the Rashbam, the lesser of the two prices, the original or the current price.
And the other price
According to the Ravid's understanding, we would advise the mocher, you would do better to take cash because then you'll get the original price, which was higher.
So the cash that you'll get, is it going to be the original price? Or the
according to the Ravid, it will be the original price, even though it was high. What's the halacha? I didn't look.
According to the
Ravid, it's not necessarily the original. It's if you're going to take cash, will be entitled to the higher price. Not necessarily the original price, but the higher price. According to the Rashbam, you'll be entitled to the lower price. But again, there can be cases where instead, if they mutually agree, then they will, that'll give them character, and that's that. Okay, fine. So, Rukun,
what's the halachic decision?
So I would have to look in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know.
That's important.
Okay. If you come to buying land and the actual halachas apply outside Eretz Yisrael as well, but the actual concept of 9 cavum primarily applies in Eretz Yisrael.
But it would have to go by the law of the land. So
well, there's actually, fine.
Okay.
All right. Fine.
But,
that Rav Huna is saying if the overage or the underage comes to 9 cavum, then the overage primarily we're talking about, then it means no matter how large the field was, so even if 9 cavum represents much less than 1/24th of it, nevertheless that's significant enough,
So he has to be
compensated for that. Yeah.
What price?
Yeah. So what price? Okay. So actually, I see in Shulchan Aruch where it says over here that you give him according to the price it was at the. Shulchan Aruch says that it is the lesser of the two. If you give it to him back at the purchase price. You repay him at the purchase price. If it was lower, but if it was more expensive and it became cheaper, then we tell the lekeach that similar to what the Ravid says. If you want to give him the money, then you're gonna have to give him the original price. If you want to give him the land, then you can give it to him at the current price.
And if you want to give him the money, it has to be the original
higher price. Okay.
Higher price.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Onward.
That's all.
Yeah. That's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Rav Nachman says, no, what you do is like this. You do have to still go proportionately. For every kur, you have 7.5 cabin. The e-ikim... The e-ikim milfi yisera, the have a letitious cabin, and then if you have an excess, which comes to 9 cabin, hadri, then that returns. Meaning, in other words, the Rashbam gives 3 different explanations of what this means. One is that it means like this. If you only have, according to Rav Nachman, according to the first explanation in the Rashbam, which is the one that he prefers, it's like this. According to Rav Nachman, it would be either, not like Rav Huna is saying that it's either 1/24th or 9 tavim. Once it's one or the other, then there's no mechila and it all has to be
weekend.
You always have to look at the 1/24th business. If it's less than 1/24th, then you're merchel, then you're merchel. Then even though 1/24th, for example, of 10 per field is going to be very, very large. On the other hand, if you have that the amount per sa was more than a roiva, and therefore more than 1/24th per sa, and therefore the total amount comes to 9 tavim or more, then we would say you have to do reimbursement. Because then there's no mechila at all. You can't say that there's mechila as far as the roiva, because the amount is more than the roiva. You can't say there's a mechila as far as the total amount, because the total amount comes to more than
two kilos.
According to Rav Huna, you need one or the other. Right. So that's the Rashbam's first explanation, which is the one that he prefers. Then he brings two other explanations. One is he says that it means that what Rav Nachman means to say is, aside from the revolume, you need an extra 9 tavim. So for example, it was a 10 saw field. In order, it was a 10 core field, for example. So for 10 core, 1/24th would be 75 tavim. In order to have 10 because 7.5 per core, so 75 for 10 core.
Right.
So it's 75. In order to have to return it, according to the second explanation that the Rashbam brings, there would have to be a total of 84 difference. It would have to be that instead of 10 core, it was 10 core plus 84 tavim. 75 for the roivas, plus another 9 for the overage. The Rashbam says, I don't like that explanation. That is actually the explanation that the Rambam uses, and it's brought. The Mechaber brings it in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber passes according to that one. The Rambam passes according to the Rashbam's first explanation,
which is that as long as you have that
the difference is more than 1/24th, and the actual total overage comes to nine tavim or more, then you have to adjust it. Then the Rashbam brings a third explanation, which is that what we mean is, suppose that again the difference between 7.5 and 9 is 1.5 cap. So it would have to be, for example, that there was an extra 1.5 kavim for each of the quarter. For each quarter, there had to be an extra 1.5. So therefore, instead of seven and a half, you come to nine. The Rashbam says, I don't like. Yeah, because the Rashbam says, I don't understand. So why should we assume that we prorate it evenly across the quarter? You could say that one quarter was over by three or four chasm or whatever, and the other one was over by a different amount, whatever. You don't have to necessarily say that it goes evenly to each course such that you'll end up with 9. Okay, so anyway, so the Rashbam prefers his first explanation, which is how that Amla passed in Shulchan Aruch, and the first explanation was that again that if you have that it's more than a roiva per calf, so more than 1/24th, plus also the total amount of difference comes out to 9 calves or more, then you have to reimburse it. And again, then the Rashbam's second explanation, which is the Rambam's explanation, and what the Mechaber brings in Shulchan Aruch, is that we're talking about you ignore the roivas and you see whether the overage was 9 calves more than the roivas. The roivas themselves, in other words, there's mechila on them, so we ignore those for this purpose, and we just focus and see whether there's 9 kavim above and beyond.
That's not
the halacha. Well, that's according to the Mechaber. That's the halacha. According to the Rambam, the halacha is like the Rashbam's first explanation. Okay. Fine. Okay. Eifei Rava lo Rav Nachman. So now, Rava asks Rav Nachman, so you're telling me then that you're telling me then that not like Rav Huna is saying that the 9 kavim is a fixed amount regardless of the size of the field. It will vary depending on the size of the field.
Yeah.
Because the roivas are going to not the 9 kavim, but the roiva is going to vary depending on the size of the field. Yeah. So in other words, according to Rav Nachman, the actual amount of variation is going to be different depending on the size of the field. Again, according to Rav Huna, it's only different until you reach a point or until you reach a field of a... Before 9, it's bottle, but above 9, it's not, no matter how large the size of the field.
Makes it easier.
Right. Well, according to Rav Nachman, no. It still depends on the size of the field. The actual overage is going to be bigger or smaller, depending...
What's the limit?
That's we said, for example, according to that, again, if you're selling a 10 core field, 1/24th of that is going to be 75,000. According to the Rashbam's explanation, what it would be is, so if you have the difference was up to 75 kavim, then there's mechila. Any more than that, not. The 75 is more than 9. But the flip side of it would be, let's say you sold a field that's only half a core in size, one twenty-fourth of half a core is only, 3 3/4 kavim, which is much less than 9. So then there would be mechila, even if you had over by 4, 5, 6, 7, until you reach 9. So in other words, it'll depend on the size of the field. So Rav asked Rav Nachman, the Mishnah had said, Shem Shir Basada Beit Tishah. No. He's asking not based on sense, but based on what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Shem Shir Basada Beit Tishah Kabin, that if you gave him that if you gave him too much in a field by 9 kabin. Now, Lav de Zabin Leiturayim. Mechora, wouldn't the Mishnah be talking about that a case even when you sold them, let's say, a field of 2 kor or something? Because after all, the first part of the Mishnah started talking about, you said, I'm selling you a base kor. But afterwards, the Mishnah doesn't continue that if you gave him too much in the base kor. It says if you gave him too much in the field, implying regardless of the size of the field, even if the field is 2 kor, if 3, whatever. So therefore, it should mean 9 caverns. So that fits better with Rav Huna's explanation, not Rav Nachman's. The answer is like, does Abin like Kur? No, you could say that the Mishnah is still talking about a case where you sold him a Kur. Given that Mishnah started by saying base Kur, I mean, later on, when it mentions Sada, it means the same Sada, the same base Kur.
And why is he saying it could be Kurayim?
Because Rav is asking, on the face of it, the Mishnah is implying that even if it was Kurayim, once you reach 9 Kavim, then already there's no Mechila, which would be like Rav Huna, not like Rav Nachman, because according to Rav Nachman, if you had anything less than 15 kavim, there would be a chila, so 7.5 per kur, so 15 for 2 kur. And he's telling him, no, the Mishnah might be talking about specifically a case where you sold 1 kur. The Mishnah might not be addressing the case where you're selling 2 kur. Okay, the question is, what about the Mishnah continues a beginner-based chatzikav? What about the Mishnah continues that you have a similar case if you sold a garden? We said in the Mishnah. Now, with a garden, the amount we said the amount of field, like where you plant grain or vegetables or whatever, that's suitable to be cultivated as 9 kavim. But for a garden where you plant, for example, herbs or things like that or whatever, just things that you plant in smaller quantities, there the amount that's a usable garden is much smaller, only a half a kavim.
And
by a similar logic, in other words, so the same way as with a field, if you left over 9 kavim, then that's considered a significant amount, and there's no mechila on it, and you have to reimburse them for it. Same thing with a garden; it would be the amount would be a half a kavim. Now, let's figure it out proportionally. If a half a kavim, there are 6 kavim to the saw.
How do you come to a half a kavim for a garden?
Because that's what we're saying. Gardens are usually much smaller.
Yeah.
With a garden, if you have an area where, had it been a field, you would be able to plant a half a cob of wheat or whatever. So then that's considered significant enough. We're talking about area. We're using chatzi cob as a measure of area. A cob, I said before, is about 400 square amas, give or take, about 900 square feet, according to Rav Chaim. A half a cob would be half of that.
200.
So what? 200 is not half. Not half of 900. 200 square amas. 200 square amas.
Right.
Or 450
right.
square feet.
Right.
Okay. So what we're saying is that's significant enough to be considered a garden of its own. If you have a garden of that size, that's worth cultivating.
Hmm.
Now, so the Mishnah is telling us that if you sold somebody a garden and by mistake you gave him a half a cob too much, then there has to be reimbursement. Now, on the face of it, let's figure out a half a cob. To a half a cob, by the same proportion of 1 to 24, would imply that the whole garden that was sold was the size of a base of 5,000 square amas. Because again, by the same logic, 1/24th of that comes to about 200 square amas. So, now, the Mishnah hadn't previously... Now, unlike with a field, the Mishnah started off with a case where you said, I'm selling you a base kur, and then afterwards we mentioned the word sada, and Rav Nachman is saying, fine, that can still be referring back to the first case. The Mishnah hadn't previously said anything about a garden. So all of a sudden, the Mishnah comes in and said, with a garden, if you gave him too much by a half a cow, then there has to be reimbursement. So the question is, lav de zavin leisasayim. Isn't l'chora the Mishnah talking about a case where you sold him a garden of the size of 2 sa?
That's such a garden.
Yeah, why not? It would be large. It would be a large garden, but okay, it could be. But we
to keep the proportions
to keep the proportion the same. Yeah. So therefore, in other words, we don't say though that because he gave him only 1/24 extra, then therefore there's mechila. We're saying there's a half a calf, therefore it's significant. By the same logic as the 9 calves in a field, we should say, in other words, the same as Rav Huna is saying, once you have an area significant enough, then automatically there's no mechila on it.
And we don't.
I mean that would contradict Rav Nachman. The answer is loy, desabin loy sa. No, you can answer that the case in the Mishnah is where he sold him a garden of the area of one sa, for example.
How do you
say
your
sa? Why not? The Mishnah didn't say anything about sa. The Mishnah didn't say the size of the garden. You're assuming on the basis of the 1/24 business that you're assuming that it had to have been sa. Not necessarily. The Mishnah could be talking about a case where the garden was only a sa. A half a calf is 1/12 of that. So therefore, it still fits with what I'm not going to say. Because you have more than 1/24, and the extra amount is a significant piece of land by itself, namely a half a calf when it comes to a garden, then therefore there's no mechila. Had it been less than half a calf, or had it been less than 1/24, their tackle would be mechila. 1/24 or less. Yeah, then they were. Okay, what about the Mishnah continues the Chodivir Rav Akiva based Roiva? What about the Mishnah continues the Koran to Rav Akiva, the overage that can be considered a garden of its own is a based Roiva, the size of a quarter cab, not a half a cab like the Chachamim said, but a quarter cab, about 100 square amas. So, my lab does Abin Laysa. Fine, then if you're going to argue that the Tanakhama is talking about a case where he sold him a sa, presumably Rav Akiva is talking about the same thing, where he sold him a garden the size of a sa. And again, a quarter cab is 1/24 of that. So therefore, again, you would have that because according to Rabbi Akiva, a base roiva is enough to be considered a garden, therefore there's no mechila. Again, that would seem to contradict Rabbi Nachman.
Because
according to Rabbi Nachman, once you have a quarter cab, then once you have a quarter cab, even though it's only 1/24 of the total, there's no mechila. Because a quarter cab, according to Rabbi Akiva, is enough to be a garden. And the answer is like Zavin the Khatisa. No, you could answer that. You can answer that Rabbi Akiva is talking about a case where he sold him a garden that's a half a size. So again, you would have the same kind of thing because it's 1/12. Because it's 1/12, and according to Rabbi Akiva, a Beit Roiva is enough to be a garden. Then therefore there's no mechila. Had it been a garden that was a saw in size, and therefore this is only 1/24, Rav Nachman would say, maybe Rav Akiva would agree that's a mechila.
But it's a
half saw, so therefore not. In the final analysis, the halacha is like Rav Nachman. Even though Rav Nachman may have a harder time understanding the Mishnah, explaining the Mishnah according to his shita, he has to be doichet and say these various things. The Mishnah is talking about certain sizes or whatever. Nevertheless, the halacha is like Rav Nachman and Dinimon. Again, against Rav Huna.
So
that's it. So that's the din then. Now you do now again. What it means when we say the halacha is like Rav Nachman is subject to that machlokas rishonim that I was mentioning before. What Rav Nachman means. You have again that three way argument that the Rashbam mentions. What Rav Nachman means. Does he mean that like I've just been saying the last couple of minutes that you look at is it 1/24 and it's 9 tavim or more. And only then is there no mechila. You need both factors. Not like Rav Huna said, you need one or the other. Or that we ignore the roivas, we ignore the 1/24 altogether, and just see whether the extra amount above the 1/24 was 9 chavim, which is how the Rambam paskins, and have a mechaber paskins. Or that we say that in each base kur you need 1.5 extra over the revoyim to bring it up to 9. Which again, the Rashbam said I don't like that explanation because then there's no reason to say the 1.5 tavim belong more to one part of the field than the other.
Because according to that, that's an explanation. If you're less than 1.5 in one area, so it doesn't
then right then yeah. So why would you say that it counts equally for each area? Yeah, you could say yeah. So anyway, so the third opinion in the Rashbam is not even brought in Shulchan Aruch. The first two opinions are brought, and again, the Mechaber paskens according to the second one, they're in accordance with the Rambam, and the Rama paskens in accordance with the first one.
First one is the easiest.
It's a different way of looking at it, but yeah.
9 Kavim.
Yeah. Well, 9 Kavim, and that it has to be over 1/24. Yeah. Okay. All right. Boy Ravashi. Now, what about, so we're saying that there's a different amount depending whether it's a field or a garden. A field, the minimum is 9 tavim. A garden, it's a half a tav, according to the chacham, which is halacha. What about if you have a field that then afterwards became a garden? Now, The Rashbam explains that we're talking about that it's after the sale, but before any adjustments were made, before he reimbursed it. There's a different explanation. Some of the Rishonim say that we're talking about after the sale, but before the measure. Whatever it is, how does it become a garden? How does it become a garden?
Yeah.
A garden needs to have a reliable source of water. A field usually in those days was just watered by rainfall. A garden, a vegetable garden or whatever, needs a lot of extra water. So suppose you have that at some point over there.
You make the measurements, don't shade?
No, yeah. But so what happens is, in other words, so now, for example, a river flowed, a river changed its course and flowed into here, or overflowed or whatever into here, or there's a spring was discovered on the land or whatever, and now the place is suitable to be used as a garden. Or the other way around, if it was a garden originally and now the spring dried up or whatever, and now it's not suitable to be used as a garden anymore. So what's it did? Do we go according to the original status of the land, or do we go according to the current status?
Now, it is Seku, but the
Rashbam clarifies, it does come out of Seku. However, the Rashbam clarifies, we're not talking about a situation where the amount of extra would have been subject to the laws of Mechila. It would have been, let's say, according to the Machman, according to the Rashbam's understanding of a Machman, it was less than 1/24th and less than 9 Tavim, and now it became a garden, and you can argue that, it's only half a calf. No, you don't say that. Once the sale was done already, then it's a done deal. Mechila is Mechila. We're talking about if the amount was such that there would have had to be adjustment. If at the time of the sale, there would have had to be, once they measured, they would have found that there needs to be an adjustment, so the difference is more than 9 cabin, and then it became a garden. That's what we're saying. According to the Rashbam, we're talking about that before you reimbursed in money or karka or whatever, now it became a garden. According to a different explanation, I think, from the David, we're talking about before you measured it. Whatever it is, the point is, it happened fairly early on, but the point is, there would have had to be an adjustment done here anyway, because we're talking about, for example, that it was originally a field, and the amount was over 9 tavim, or over 1/24th, as the case may be, whatever. But meanwhile, it became a garden, and now the question is: Do we look at the original status, let me rephrase that. If it's 9 tavim, there's no question you're returning it anyway. Let's say, for example, again, you sold a base core and the allowable variance, we said, is 7.5. Up to that point, there's mechila. But we said, for example, if the difference was 8, then there's no mechila, but then you're not going to give him the 8 tavim back, so you can't use a land of 8 tavim. But now, if it became a garden, you could use a garden of 8 tavim. So do you go according to that, or do you go according to the fact originally it was a field? So that's the take.
How do we do it today?
It's as usual. We take one mitzvah chaver l'varaya. Depends who's the muchzik at this point, basically. Okay. Tana, we learn in a braisa. Im hoyas samach l'tadeu. What if now this extra piece of land? So let's say, for example, the extra piece was only 8 chasm, which all this time we've been saying 8 chasm is not suitable to be done as a field on its own. But if it's next, if it's adjacent to one of the seller's other fields. Afilo kosher, even if it's only a little bit adjacent to it, maxo like karka, then you return him the karka, not money, because then you can't say that, well, what are you going to do with an 8 cab area? You can't really use it anyway. Of course you can use it, but it's going to be part of his field, yeah.
So that's it.
Now, however, on that, boy, Rabashi, Bor Maush Taksik, however, Rabashi asks on that, what about if you have a water pit between them? Between the mocher's main field and this extra 8 cabin, let's say,
right.
Is that enough does the bor create a hefsek or not? And if you're going to argue maybe a bor is not enough to make a hefsek, amasamayim maushet hefsek. What about if you have a water channel over there, which is more of a hefsek than a bor?
Because between the two.
Between the two, yeah. So in other words, you have I sold you a field over here. I mismeasured it, and I gave you 8 cav too much. We're saying you're obligated to give me back the value of the 8 cavim or the 8 cavim themselves, the case may be. Now, we're saying I have a field over here. Since the 8 cavim are adjacent to it anyway, just give me back that part. You, the lekeach, don't have the ability to say, well, I'd rather just reimburse you for it with money, and I'll keep that 8 cavim.
Because I have a field
next to it anyway. So now Rav Ashi is asking, what if the fields are adjacent, but there's a bur between them? Or you can argue a boiler is not an analogy. So there's brothers. So in a way they are, in a way they're not, right? But so if you're going to argue maybe a boiler is not enough, if you're going to argue a boiler is maybe not enough to be considered a hefsek, what about an amos hamayim? What about a water channel, which is more of a hefsek? Or what about if you're going to argue even that is not enough to be a hefsek? Because an amos hamayim is it's long, and like a boiler is usually round. Yeah, because it also has it has water flowing in it all the time. A boiler sometimes is dry. If you're going to argue maybe an amos hamayim is not enough to be a hefsek, derech harabim ma'ushat hefsek. What about if you have a public path going in between them? And by the way, we had a similar series of questions by Rav Ashi about 20 blocks ago in connection with the three trees situation over there. There, Tosfos pointed out the derech harabim over there, usually a derech harabim is 16 amos. Here we don't necessarily have to be talking that it's true rishus harabim that's 16 amos wide. It just means it's a public path that people regularly use. It doesn't necessarily have to be full 16 amos wide. Even if it's narrower than that, it's still, it might be considered a hefsek. Or, if you're going to argue even that is not considered a hefsek, richba de dikla ma'ushat hefsek. What about if you have a thicket of palm trees, have a bunch of palm trees growing very close together with their tops intertwined or whatever, so it's very hard to get through that area. Is that considered a hefsek? And the answer with all of those, again, is taken.
Well, for the duckling, it's more of a...
Each one is more of a hefsek than the previous one, but still, you don't have a clear answer to any of them. Yeah. Okay. Then we said, the Mishnah had said, v'loyos ha-roiva bilvad ma'asuloy, that when it comes to returning him the extra amount, you don't only return him the extra quarter, the extra 1/24th, ela kol ha-moiser, rather you have to return him all the extra. The question is, the Mishnah seems to be phrased backwards, klafi laya, which way is the Mishnah going? Meaning, in other words, it seems if we're saying that up to a roiva you're moichel and above a roiva you're not moichel, then logic should be the other way around. The Mishnah should be saying that not only you're returning the extra amount, which the guy was never moichel on, the seller was never moichel on, but you're also even throwing in also the revoyim themselves. Isn't that how it should say?
You should say it
that not only you return him the moiser, not only you return, in other words, here. A concrete example. Again, you sold him a base kur where the allowable amount that could have been mechila is 7.5 tab. Instead, you gave him 8 extra tab. So we're saying that he has to return you the 8. Now, which part is the more obvious part that you have to return? A half, because 100 the 7.5 you could argue is mechila. So you should be saying not only do you have to return him that half, but you also have to return him the other 7.5 as well. You don't say that he was moichel on it, and therefore you can keep it. So the Mishnah should be phrasing. That's the point. You have to return him all eight. But the Mishnah is phrasing it. The Mishnah is phrasing it by saying not only you return him the roiva, you even return. Not only you return him the 7.5, you even return him the extra little amount. That's phrased backwards.
Yeah,
exactly.
First the big amount, and then the.
No, not just the bigger amount. First the part that he wasn't moichel on, and then the part he is moichel on.
Which is the bigger amount,
first? The amount he was moichel on would have been the bigger amount, 7.5. If he had given you 7.5, he would have been moichel on it.
Right.
But he gave you 8, so he's not moichel on any of it.
So which one?
The Mishnah should have said first that you have to return him the extra amount, meaning the extra half, and not only that extra half, you even have to return him the 7.5. Which if he had given you only the 7.5, he would have been moichel on them. But because he gave you 8, not yet. So the answer is, yeah, Tani Rav and Barav Nachman. Yeah, Rav and Barav Nachman taught a braisa that says exactly that. Loyas ha-moisib ovad ma'asulo, he doesn't the attack that way. Not only he returns him the extra, elas kolor voim kulon, but he also returns them all the roivas, all the 1/24. Mishnah says, midi b'chevel ani moichelach hein chaser hein yasser. Now, so what happens? The seller uses two expressions that seem to contradict each other. He says, I'm selling you a base core measured with a rope, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. So measured with a rope, we said in the previous mission, has to be exact. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. This will be 1/24. Yeah. Bittel hen chaser hen yetzer midi b'chevel. What it means is the second part of a statement, the hen chaser hen yetzer cancels out the midi b'chevel. Yeah. Well, hold on. We're going to see in the Gemara. It's not so simple. Hold on. So then the second lashon cancels out the first one. What about the other way around? Midi b'chevel hein chaser hein. Hein chaser hein yetzer midi b'chevel. It's the other way around. If he said, I'm selling you a little more, a little less, measure with a rope. Bittel midi b'chevel hein chaser hein yetzer. Then the other way around. The words midi b'chevel cancel out the hein chaser hein yetzer. Divid ben nanas. That is what ben nanas says, which, as we'll see in the Gemara, it's not so simple. The Chachamim argue with him. Now, So the Gemara starts off. Amar Rav Abba bar Memo. Hold on. Amar Rav Abba bar Memo Amar Rav. Chaluk chokin olav chaver of Abba Nas. You should know that his chaver, meaning the other chachamim, disagree with Ben Nas. Ben Nas is saying that you go according to the second lashon, twice lashon after. The chachamim have a suffix on it. Is the mammon a multiple suffix? Well, if it's a suffix, then you have to divide it. Okay, so the question is, my kamashmalon, what's the chid? Now, by the way, the Ritva points out that here we're talking about, when we talk about Loshen Rishon, Loshen Achron, which one you go according to, there's no question. If he said it, if at one point he said mid b'chevel, and later on, at some later point, he says, you know what, hein choser, hein yater, obviously you would go according to that last one. There's no question about it. The question is, here he said it for Tertzid Dibur. So the question is, did he mean, therefore, to retract what he said, or is it, you know, he can't have forgotten so quickly, the Tertzid Dibur, within a couple of seconds, what he said. Maybe if he actually meant to retract it, he should have said so. He should have said, for example, mid b'chevel ani mechlach, you know what, never mind. Hein choser, hein yater. He should have said it like that. The fact that he didn't say, no, never mind, maybe means, then that's why we have the question whether you go according to Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron. But if he had said mid b'chevel, and later on, a week later or whatever, he said, no, hein choser, hein yater, obviously you'd have to go according to that. So the question is, my kamash malon, what is Rav's chiddush in telling us that the chachamim disagree with Ben Nanas? We know that from a different case, Taneina. We learned such a mishnah in Bava Metzia. Ma'ase b'tzipori be'echad shasacha merchat mechaveri b'shnei melchot zehuvim l'shana. It happened once in Tzipori that somebody rented a bath house from somebody else for 12 gold coins, meaning 12 gold dinar a year. Dinar zav l'chiddush, where the guy had said both things. He said, I'm renting it to you for 12 gold coins for the year, one gold coin per month. Now, then it became an ibriyar. What do you do with ibriyar? What do you do with the ibriyar month?
The
case was brought to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yosi, but Amru, and they said, Yachloiku is chodesh ibriyar. They have to divide. He gives them half the rent for that last month. Why? Because mammon on multiple sofer. In other words, so we see from that Mishnah, we don't just go according to the last statement like bananas would say. We see that we're not sure whether you go according to Lashon Rishon. We take both of them, exactly.
Right.
So what is Rav telling us when he, in our Mishnah, that we already know, in other words, that exactly. The answer is Imehosam have Amina Hosam who the Iklamema Mehadir Kahodabe. The Iklamema Porter should come a farish. Because in that case, you could argue that in that case, maybe even Ben Nanas would agree that Yechleku. Because over there, you could understand what he's saying in two different ways itself. You could understand, on the one hand, that he wants to change his mind. He started by saying 12 dinner a year, but then he changed his mind and said, actually, let it be one dinner per month, implying I want to keep my options open. If it becomes an Ibriyar, I expect a 13th dinner. Or maybe not. On the other hand, maybe he's not even changing his mind. What he's doing is he's explaining. Why is he explaining? Why is he mentioning the monthly details? So that Ashram says there are a couple of things in it. First of all, if he just said that I'm renting it to you for 12 dinner per year, it would mean, we've learned many times, that the rental payment is only due at the end of the term. Again, not the way we do things nowadays, but in halacha that's how it is. The wages only due at the end of the period. So if he only said Lashana, it would mean he'd only have to be paid at the end of the year. He wants to make sure he's going to get paid month by month. So therefore he mentions that. But not to say that he's saying anything about an Ibriyar. He may just be saying Dinner Zahav L'Chodesh, as if to say, I don't just expect to be paid at the end of the year, I expect to be paid at the end of every month. And another point of it is also that Ashbam says, the other advantage of mentioning the month is that it turns it from a yearly, the fact that it makes it instead of a yearly rental to monthly rental, meaning he can decide at the end of every month to kick the guy out. It's a lease on a month-to-month basis as opposed to a year-to-year basis.
So that's why we need
to... So in that case, you would argue that even Ben Nanas might agree that that's a suffix. What did he mean? What did he mean? Did he mean one of those things, or did he actually mean to say that, you know what, I realize that there may be a 13th month and I want to keep my options open. I want to make sure I get a dinner for that as well. But here, where he starts saying mid b'chevel and then says hein choser hein yeter, or vice versa, there's no question he obviously changed his mind. Aim Allah, you would think maybe not. Maybe, maybe, uh, maybe that Abbanon wouldn't even agree, wouldn't even disagree with him. In other words, maybe that Abbanon, maybe in our Mishnah, Benanus is saying his thing, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi would agree with him, because over here he's clearly contradicting himself, and therefore you have to go according to Lashon Akron. Over there he's not necessarily contradicting himself, and everybody, Benanus and the other, and everybody else, would agree maybe that Yechlut. That is the Chiddush. Kamash Malon, that is Rab's Chiddush in telling us that no, they actually do argue in both places. So in our Mishnah, again, they would say, never mind Loshen Rish and Loshen Achron, we're not sure which one is which, therefore Yachloku. And in the case of the Merchus, Benanus would also disagree, and he'd say just strictly twice Loshen Achron. Never mind any possibilities that maybe he's trying to explain himself. No, you just go according to the last Loshen, and he's entitled to his 13th
day. We cannot apply the last Loshen in our Mishnah.
No. Well, no, we could, but we're saying, it was the same, Rav is saying, the same Machloikus there is over there is the same Machloikus there is over here.
Because you could think differently.
Yeah, because you could think differently, exactly. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Zudir Rebbenana. Now comes Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel. No wait, this our Mishnah is according to Benanus. Yes, Ava Chachamim Omrim Holachah Pachas Shavuloshonis. The Chachamim have Shmuel has a different understanding of what the Chachamim would say against Benanus. Again, Rav had said that the other Chachamim said is a suffix. Do you go according to Loshen Rishon? Do you go according to Loshen Achron? We're not sure. Therefore, Yachloku. Shmuel says that no, what you do is you go according to the least of the Lashonis. Meaning, in other words, that you go according to the Lashon, the Moicher, the seller, is the one who has the Chazakah on the Karka. Therefore, you go according to the lesser Lashon, whichever one is going to make things better for the Moicher and worse for the Lakeah. That's how the Rashbam understands it. There's other opinions among the Lashonim as well. The Rabbeinu Gershom says that Pachas of the Lashonis means the shortest of the Lashonis. So, for example, Midah B'Chevel is shorter than Hen Chaser Hen Yamer. So, according to him, it wouldn't matter. So, in other words, according to Shmuel, it doesn't matter the order in which you said it. It's not a question of Loshen Rishon, Loshen Achron. It doesn't matter the order in which you said it. You go according to whichever one makes things better for the Moicher, according to the Rashbam, or the shorter one, according to Rabbeinu Gershom. Yeah, there's also the Machlokes of the Rambam and the Raivet in this, who's considered the Muchzik over here. Is the Moicher always the Muchzik? Is the one who has the money in his hands right now considered the Muchzik? Okay, anyway. So that's what Shmuel says. So therefore, in other words, in our Mishnah, the if he says Midah B'Chevel and Chaser and Yatir, so it would depend. Did he give him a little more or did he give him a little less? If he gave him a little more, then he would have to get it back, even if it was only a small amount. There's no mechila because it benefits the mocher. If he gave him a little less, then there's no exchange because we say that the lekeach was mocher. Yeah. Okay.
Why should we advantage the mocher like that?
Because he's the one who has the chazaka. He's the one who's mochzik in the character.
Not a good reason. I mean,
but that is a good reason. He's the one who's mochzik, so therefore yada al
oyan. So he has to
have an advantage. So yada al, that's what it means. To have a chazaka. The chazaka gives him that advantage. Yeah. Sidnya? Okay, so the question is, are you telling me that Shmuel says this opinion in our Mishnah is according to Benanus? Are you telling me Shmuel himself does not agree with Benanus, with what Benanus says in our Mishnah about Loshen Achron? But Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai, but don't we have Rav and Shmuel both said?
Benefit.
When Shmuel says Zu Divrei Benanus Ava Chachamim Omrim, it implies, sounds like he's saying this Mishnah is according to Benanus. But you should know the halacha is not like what it says in our Mishnah. The halacha is like what the Chachamim would say. But we see in a different case that Shmuel seems to be saying that you do go according to Benanus. Namely, Rav and Shmuel Dami Tavai. Rav and Shmuel both say, we learned this earlier. We learned this back in the sixth parak. Kur b'shloshim ani mochalach. If one person says to the other, "I'm selling you a kur of grain for thirty seller rather," yochalach b'afilu b'sa'ach reina. Either one can change their mind even when it comes to the last saw, because the whole it's one big sale of 30 saw. So until Meshicha has been done on all 30 saw, or until all 30 saw in the keli of the lekeach or whatever it is, no kinyan has been done. On the other hand, Kur b'shloshim sah b'sela ani mochalach. But if he says both lashonis, I'm selling you a kur for thirty sela at the rate of one sah per sela, rishon kana. Then each one, as it's poured into the lekeach container or as he does meshicha on it or whatever, he's kind of that one. So therefore, that means we go according to Lashon Acharon. We say we ignore the Kur B'Shloshim, which would make it one big transaction of a Kur. Instead, we make it into 30 small transactions of one saw each, and we say each one wants Meshicha or Kaili or whatever has been done with it, then he's kind of. So therefore, so never mind the first case. We're focusing on the second case, where we see there's two different Lashonis, and Shmuel is saying that you go according to Lashon Acharon, which seems to mean that he agrees with Bananas. Okay, so you're right. Ella Zeus, really. Fine, you have to answer then, fine, that Shmuel, when he says, Zu Divrei Bananas, fine. Usually when an Amorah says, Zu Divrei Pliny, Aval, Chachamim say differently, usually it means to say he doesn't agree with it. Fine, this we would have to assume is an exception. He would agree with it. That he would agree with him that you go according to Lashon Acharon. Fine, let's leave the continuation for tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, it's not so simple. Not necessarily after all, does Shmuel agree with Bananas? We'll continue the discussion tomorrow.
It doesn't.
We'll see.
Okay. Thank you.